have another reporter on the line as well. That would be Casey Adler. Casey, where are you coming to us from?
Hi there. I'm in downtown Los Angeles, right across from City Hall. It's an incredible turnout today.
Wow. Okay, so describe incredible turnout and describe...
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
We have unions from Unite Here to SEIU 99 and UTLA, which are currently bargaining with LAUSD for fair wages and better working conditions. We have a booth for Black Lives Matter, white people for Black Lives Matter. Loads of individuals from every race, creed, religion, gender here protesting, verbalizing, vocalizing their anger and terror at what's been occurring over the past year. We have many, many individuals here in Los Angeles, which was the ground zero for the ICE raid a year ago, expressing consternation and anger at ICE specifically.
I was going to say, I mean, and rightly so, a lot of attention has been focused on the Twin Cities. But like, as you said, the city of Los Angeles has been where ICE seems to have started. And so I'm wondering, is there any indication as to how the communities are holding up? Is there the same sense of resolve that we've seen in the Twin Cities and in other parts of the country?
Oh, it's been an incredible amount of unity over the past year. There's a Home Depot strike, there's Union Del Barrio, there's teachers that gather right after school to keep their friends, family, and community members safe. I've spoken with a number of individuals today discussing friends or people in their neighborhoods who've been, quote-unquote, disappeared, specifically vendors. We have quite a few fruit vendors in Los Angeles that use small carts and cut up fruit for people who are searching for a tasty little dessert or respite from their day. And a number of people have talked about these vanishing carts, if you will. People who were vendors and taken by ICE and their fruit stands just melting away.
Wow, wow. Well, Lauren, I understand you also have some questions from further north in California.
Absolutely. You know, while we've seen these brutal immigration enforcement operations across the country, you know, you highlighted Minneapolis. I think it's important to note that Los Angeles also saw 2,000 National Guardsmen also deployed due to the level of protests that unfolded in L.A. Can you talk about how Los Angeles really kind of was ground zero and following these crackdowns? I mean, what has changed since the first No Kings to today?
In my view, not much has changed in the sense of solidarity, unity, and action. Everyone I've spoken with, activists, the leaders in unions, they're still extremely motivated to maintain their action against ICE, against President Trump, against the actions of this administration. There's still an ongoing boycott Home Depot, patrols that are constantly on the lookout for undocumented individuals, and it's there to help people and families weather this. There's a number of food banks and food networks to provide food for families too scared to actually go to the market themselves and venture out of their home. I would say there's quite a bit of unity still.
Absolutely. And, you know, something that's interesting, as we say, you know, No Kings is kind of the phrase of this protest. And going back to the National Guardsmen, you know, I think that was one of the first moves we saw from the Trump administration to usurp local control, right? Like, traditionally, a governor has control over National Guard deployment. And I think Californians kind of felt helpless in that moment. And, you know, while folks are eager to see Congress get more involved, you know, people really felt that about local lawmakers and even our governor, who has become an emerging figure as resistance against the Trump administration. So what has that cooperation, you know, does Los Angeles feel support from the local representatives, or is the power really in the grassroots movement in the streets with the people?
That's a great question. I would say it, the grassroots and rank and file are quite a bit different than the political leaders. You still see quite a bit of organization with LAPD, which in many activists view are just another extension or an adjacent law enforcement agency of ICE. Black Lives Matter has talked about this extensively on how LAPD has assaulted them and assaulted their rights over the past, certainly over the past few years, but all the way dating back to the Watts riots in the 60s and, of course, going further back. But in addition to No Kings and ICE, there's quite a bit of people who are extremely mad at our international conflicts. A number of people have brought up what's going on in Iran, our invasion and war in Iran, our war of aggression. A number of people have brought up the genocide in Palestine. A number of people have brought up the kidnapping of Maduro from Venezuela. So No Kings, in many people's views here, doesn't just relate to domestic politics, but also international politics.
One other thing of note in L.A., you know, California, not only, you know, the governor here, Gavin Newsom, but the state itself has been trying to write legislation to combat what we're seeing across the country, including San Francisco State Senator Scott Wiener and L.A. Congress, or pardon me, State Senator Mark Gonzalez, you know, wrote legislation to say that ICE cannot wear masks while doing operations in the state of California. That is actually currently being debated, the legality in court, my understanding. But the LAPD chief stated, regardless of if this gets codified into law, he would not enforce that law, which to me, you know, as lawmakers, you know, they write the laws, law enforcement enforce, you know, the laws. Why does the LAPD chief think he gets to choose which laws he's enforcing? And is this a part of that theme of you know, the sheriff's office maybe not going beyond their press releases, saying they're standing with the immigrant community, maybe on the ground to something different?
That's a great question. Why is the LAPD dictating the laws to the governor of California? You should definitely interview the chief of police here. But one can possibly surmise that it has to do with solidarity with enforcement agencies across the federal landscape. There have been a number of problems with quote-unquote cop gangs in LAPD specifically, and you could make the assumption or that LAPD is also in collaboration and solidarity with ICE, who they might think as their brothers and sisters.
Absolutely. And Casey, you've been on the streets in downtown LA and speaking with folks. What are you hearing from people?
Primarily anger towards Trump, primarily anger towards the economic landscape, healthcare. Genocide in Palestine, ICE raids, unions not getting their fair shake, people sick and tired of seeing friends, family scared to exist. A number of people have talked about themselves as Americans are scared of ICE rounding them up. People are here from all walks of life. We've seen impersonators of Donald Trump in dirty white underwear, standing next to an impersonator of George Washington, and Uncle Sam on giant stilts, to everyone in between.
Yeah, and Casey, it's my understanding we actually have some audio from those folks.
That's right, that's right. I'm also standing with an individual briefly. His name is David Mathers. He's an artist and an activist with incredible quilts, that are about activism itself. Do you have a moment to hear his voice?
Hi, this is Casey Adler. I'm reporting for KPFK 90.7 Los Angeles.
We're
in downtown LA for the No Kings rally. We're standing with an individual who has a shirt that says Sacred Resistance. Tell us your name and why you're here.
My name is Cindy Rini. I'm a longtime resident of LA. I'm a member of Sacred Resistance, which is an organization that is supporting immigrant rights right now. And it is all laity across the city, all different denominations gathering together, not just laity, but then people can be in our group. And we are supporting our immigrants.
What prompted the creation of this organization?
It was started in 2016 when they started separating families and putting kids in cages is when the first iteration of Sacred Resistance started.
What has changed over this past decade that has pushed you into more activism?
Radicalization, you mean?
Have you become more radical?
Oh, yes. I come from a small town in Oregon, and everyone in my family is MAGA, and I am currently reading The Rise and Fall of the Third Reich to better understand how we are, why we are, and why America is this way, trying to understand more and learn more and learn about history so I can be better informed and fight for our democracy.
Have you been able to bring any individual from your family who is MAGA to your side or understand?
No, not
one individual.
They bait me. They give my kids Trump coins at Christmas, and I talked to my birth mom, and we kind of reason with her, but then she goes back with her friends. She's wishy-washy. She goes, you know, we say the things, and then she's like, oh, that sounds right. That sounds better. Oh, good. And then she's back at it. So my father is a member of the Heritage Foundation, so he's for years, and it just makes me crazy. So,
well, then how did you de-radicalize yourself from that perspective?
I grew up in this place. All my high school friends are pretty much MAGA. They think I'm crazy. But I went to University of Oregon, and I was an art major, and I met gay people and Jewish people for the first time when I was 17. And so I'm never going back. So now I have, you know, a bi daughter, and I'm an ally, and I will fight till my last breath against all this crap.
All right. Voices from downtown Los Angeles with Casey Adler of KPFK. How is it going, Casey? Anything else you think our listeners should know? As it's reported that 50,000 plus folks are gathering in the downtown Los Angeles No Kings 3 alone, not to mention the dozens of other events across Los Angeles and across the state.
Yeah, I would say that this is a moment of extreme civil rights. An extreme civil rights movement across multiple spheres, and standing right now in front of City Hall is an incredible amount of solidarity from unions to local activists to individuals who are fed up, even including conservatives I spoke to who are sick and tired of what's happening over the past year. There is hope, and that hope is wrapped in a shell of anger.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Casey Adler with KPFK in Los Angeles. We'll continue to stay in touch and update.